Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
New year, same great savings. All in the Kroger app. Get Kroger Spiral Sliced Ham for 89 cents a pound with your card and an additional $25 purchase limit too. Then get large avocados or mangoes for 99 cents each with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right. Welcome back. This is Scott Aspenlighter sitting in for Aaron Flint as he gets some much-deserved time off with his family around the holidays. So I want to give out the call-in number again. Call in. Let's talk all things Montana, all things politics, state or national. Or if you want to, Caden and I are going to talk some Bobcat football here coming up this hour and talk about all the great things that are going on over at Montana State, my alma mater, Montana State University in Bozeman. So call-in number is 406-294-0970. And you can also message us on the app. Cam has been active this morning, shooting us a couple messages. So appreciate that and appreciate Nancy for the phone call. I know there's some folks out there listening. My friend's mom, Mo Davey in Columbus, shot me a text message this morning and said she was tuned in and listening in. And Mo, good morning to you. Merry Christmas. So Mo was a county commissioner over in Stillwater County. She was also kind of our college mom. We all had those. If you went to college, you kind of had that one friend's mom that always came over and kind of took care of everybody and fed everyone. Mo was that college mom. Never missed the tailgate. Was always at a Bobcat football game. Just a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful woman and a fantastic friend and still our college mom as we're 40 some years old now. We still consider Mo our mom in some extent. So Mo, thanks for listening. We're going to talk some Bobcats because I know Mo wants to listen to that. So as we go, we're going to talk about some immigration policy, and I think we'd be remiss every show this point talks about that. But let's briefly get started on that before we take our next break. You know, Oregon's top law enforcement officer, a far cry from my friend, Attorney General Austin Knutson, but his counterpart over in Oregon, put out a Sanctuary Promise Community Toolkit for illegal aliens in the state of Oregon. And she said, every person has the right to live, work, play, and learn safely in Oregon, period. That came from Oregon Democrat Attorney General Ellen Rosenblum. Said that in announcing the toolkit and activating it. In 1987, apparently, Oregon was one of the first states to pass something like this, and it was around immigration and naturalization services doing work in that state back in 1987. Now, INS is now ICE, but in that toolkit, what she's noting is that laws prohibit state and local law enforcement resources from being used to apprehend suspects charged solely with being present in the U.S. without papers. Now, we're going to talk a little bit about that and the different approach, A, that we have here in Montana, and B, that President Trump is coming in with. But we're going to talk about that after the break. This is Montana Talk Radio. Call in 406-294-0970. Thanks for listening. Look forward to talking to you on Montana Talks Radio.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
Of course they pay higher salaries in places like New York and L.A. It costs so much more to live in those places. You hear those kinds of statements so often that you never question them. But when you examine them more closely, the logic doesn't quite work. Of course, the evidence is clear. Average wages in the bigger cities are higher than Montana, for many jobs at least. But there's nothing automatic about simply paying people higher wages because, say, housing costs or taxes are high. After all, the business they are paying those wages don't get extra revenue from their customers simply because the cost of living where they are located is high. People make higher wages in bigger cities because the nature of their jobs is different. They are more specialized. Their responsibilities are broader. Their decisions and actions have more impact. They are paid more because their efforts produce more. That's where the money comes from to pay them more, as it must. There's no other way it could happen. I'm Patrick Markey.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.
This is House Call for Health. It's almost time for New Year's resolutions to kick in. A common one is to be healthier, which can mean a lot of things, from exercising to better eating. But one some may overlook is getting better sleep, which can also lead to a healthier life. And while you can't control all factors, the Mayo Clinic has a few steps and habits you can take to encourage better slumber. First, stick to a sleep schedule. A healthy adult amount is 7 hours, but don't sleep more than 8. Go to bed and get up at the same time every day, including weekends. This will reinforce your sleep-wake cycle. Next up, pay attention to what you're eating and drinking. Don't go to bed hungry, but also don't go to bed stuffed. The effects of nicotine and caffeine can take hours to wear off, and even if alcohol helps you fall asleep, it can disrupt sleep during the night. And one more tip. Limit daytime naps to no more than 1 hour and try not to take them later in the day. For more health news, go to foxnewshealth.com. House Call for Health. I'm Lisa Brady, Fox News.
Hey, Merry Christmas. Happy New Year. I'll tell you what, if you're going to be traveling this holiday season, whether it's on a plane, train, or an automobile, download the Montana Talks app. Not only can you listen live through the Montana Talks app, you'll see some of the web content, some of the news and commentary pieces that we share. But if you're traveling, you're in and out of coverage, you're sleeping in, you can download all 4 hours of Montana Talks. And there's going to be some great content. David Noble, Scott Aspenlighter, and more. Download the Montana Talks app on your phone.
Free app today.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right. Good morning, Montana. This is Scott Aspenlighter sitting in for the great Aaron Flint. Flint got some time off with the family, which is fantastic, much deserved for Mr. Flint. But we're going to talk some immigration stuff here for the next couple of minutes, and kind of playing off of the comments I made earlier about Oregon. Oregon's top law enforcement officer, the attorney general there, rolled out a Sanctuary Promise Community Toolkit, which, in her own words, says every person has a right to live, work, play, and learn safely in Oregon, period. That's Oregon Democrat Attorney General Ellen Rosenblum. Now, nobody in the world is going to argue with that, that statement, that every person has a right to live, work, play, and learn safely. I don't care what state you live in. That's a pretty innocuous comment, but it also misleads, I think, the general public from what exactly you're trying to do. There is a process. There's a process for coming into our country, and nobody wants to shut the border off completely for those who come in legally, follow the process, and come in and contribute to our communities and contribute as taxpayers and members of our communities. I haven't run into anybody that wants to do that, at least in the circles that I run in. But everybody wants you to follow the process and follow the law and do it legally and come here legally to contribute to our community. So, again, these comments from the Attorney General out of Oregon, I think, are just wildly misleading. But she does note that Oregon, back in 1987, did pass a law that prohibits Oregon state and local law enforcement resources from being used to apprehend suspects charged solely with being present in the U.S. without having papers. So illegal aliens with or without criminal records. So now that's a stark comparison to where President Trump comes in and in just under a month. And his border czar, Tom Homan, has promised to crack down on criminal migrants. Now, again, the important part of that is criminal migrants, cracking down on criminal migrants. Now, the thing I think that is that's important to note here is in this story is that in Texas, they're finding these illegal immigrants in jail, and ICE is cross-deputizing, or however you want to call it, granting ICE powers to some of the counties who are holding these facilities. So some counties have been granted limited ICE powers, allowing them, once they get properly trained, of course, to identify illegal migrants already in their jails. So if they're already in their jails, that means they have committed a crime, right? This isn't going out and scooping up people in fields. This isn't scooping, you know, running around raiding houses for folks that haven't committed a crime. These are criminals in the system. So, for example, if you get picked up on a DUI, that person will be held, if identified as an illegal by these counties down in Texas, be held for ICE pickup in that local jail. They wouldn't be kicked out on bond. They wouldn't be kicked out on bail. There are 25 Texas counties already participating in what they're calling this 287G program, which is the section of the code which allows for it. But, you know, Border Czar Tom Homan is referring to this and properly references this as a force multiplier for ICE. Using local resources that are willing and that are properly trained, identifying migrants, illegal migrants in the criminal system already. And again, that's the important part. We're pulling the criminals and deporting the criminals. That's a stark comparison to what's going on in Oregon, and some of these other sanctuary states like California, Washington, up and down the West Coast. We've got to get on the same page as a country, and I think we're generally getting there about our immigration policy and what we're doing to close that border down with Mexico so that we control the flow of legal migrants into our country, following the process and working with our immigration folks to become contributing members of our society. We need workers. In every sector in this country, we need workers. And we need migrants to help with that that demand. Elon Musk has even come out here this last week and said, hey, we need high-skilled migrants. We need to stop this immigration talk. We need high-skilled migrants, and we need to find those folks and get them into our country. Again, most Republicans would agree unanimously with that. What we need to figure out is how we get rid of the criminals that have snuck across our border over the last decade and get them out so we can get back to having safe, productive communities. All right, we're going to take a quick break. Call-in number is 406-294-0970. Call-in. This is Montana Talk Radio with Scott Aspler. Look forward to talking to you.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
Of course they pay higher salaries in places like New York and L.A. It costs so much more to live in those places. You hear those kinds of statements so often that you never question them. But when you examine them more closely, the logic doesn't quite work. Of course, the evidence is clear. Average wages in the bigger cities are higher than Montana, for many jobs at least. But there's nothing automatic about simply paying people higher wages because, say, housing costs or taxes are high. After all, the business that aren't paying those wages don't get extra revenue from their customers simply because the cost of living where they are located is high. People make higher wages in bigger cities because the nature of their jobs is different. They are more specialized. Their responsibilities are broader. Their decisions and actions have more impact. They are paid more because their efforts produce more. That's where the money comes from to pay them more, as it must. There's no other way it can happen. I'm Patrick Markey.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.
It's December 26th, and this is your Fox Daily Snapshot. Today is National Thank You Note Day. It all started back in ancient times with the Egyptians and Chinese societies, and nowadays celebrated by sending a note of gratitude for the gifts you received. On this day in 1991, Jack Ruby's gun sells for $220,000 in auction. He shot and killed Lee Harvey Oswald, who assassinated President John F. Kennedy. American Colin O'Brady is the first person to cross Antarctica solo and unassisted after 54 days across the Ross Ice Shelf in 2018. In 1776, George Washington defeats the Hessians in the Battle of Trenton in the American Revolutionary War. In 1862, the first U.S. Navy hospital ship enters service. Born on this day in 1979, former American Idol contestant Chris Daughtry. I'm CJ Papa. That's your Fox Daily Snapshot.
This is where Montana talks ag with Lane Nordland.
In February of 2023, the Mexican government put out two decrees that dealt with corn imports from the U.S. Dave Salmason with the American Farm Bureau says both decrees were found to be in violation of the U.S.-Mexico-Canada trade agreement.
Both said that they did not want genetically modified corn from the U.S. One was about white corn that you use to make food products such as tortillas and such. And the other was about the yellow corn that goes into livestock feed. So the one about the white corn said, no, we're not importing that anymore. Don't want. And the other one said, we want the Mexican government to find other sources. We want non-GMO yellow corn.
The Office of the U.S. Trade Representative brought the case before the USMCA dispute panel that made its decision late last week.
The dispute panel, which is made up of persons from all three countries, decided for the U.S. on all counts. The main points of their panel decision were, one, that the Mexican measures were not based on science, and two, that what they were doing was undermining the market access that Mexico agreed to provide in the U.S.-Mexico-Canada agreement.
Mexico is the top foreign buyer of U.S. corn. In 2023 alone, the U.S. exported $5.39 billion worth of corn to Mexico. I'm Lane Northland.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right. Nice little surprise this morning. One of my best friends, Jake Eaton, is joining me in the studio for the balance of the show here this morning. So, good morning, Jake.
Hey,
welcome.
Thanks.
Thanks for coming in, man.
Glad to be here. It seems like everybody that wants to fill in for Flint, they try to ask me to come in the show, and then every time after the show, Flint's like, "Oh yeah, we got to have you come on," but of course, then he doesn't call me.
So, thanks a lot, Flint.
Thanks for nothing, Flint.
So. Thanks a lot, Flint. So you and Flint have known each other for a long, long time.
Oh, we go back a long time ago. we first met back in college in Missoula. We actually both signed up for the Army about the same time, right after 9/11. We never actually served together. He was a fancy officer. I was just lowly enlisted guy. But yeah, we go back a day or two.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's great. And still very close friends to this day. Jake and Aaron. So yes. as you see the subtle jabs come, those are said with admiration and love most of the time.
Most of the time.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. So Jake, if you've listened to this show before, you've heard Jake, most certainly. He steps in and talks politics, with the best of them. He is probably the best political strategist that we have in Montana. Either side of the aisle, I would argue. And very engaged, very active, and has been since college in Montana.
Actually, the very first campaign I ever ran was Aaron Flint's campaign for ASUM student body president. How about that?
When we put a conservative in the presidency at UM, we were not very popular after that, as you might imagine.
Now, did you ever get your tires flattened or car egged or anything crazy like that?
It never extended beyond the verbal threats and harassment. So, I mean, it is Missoula after all. Kids, I mean.
That's true. They're painted fingernail polish guys over there, including on their football team.
It's been a rough year, but maybe now we can finally be done with Bobby Houck and say, hey, buddy, nice job. It didn't work. Move along.
Right. Boy, it's interesting to hear that from a Grizz fan. And, Jake is a diehard Grizz fan. I'm a diehard Cat fan. We'll leg wrestle about that, I'm sure, throughout this. But it's interesting to hear Grizz fans say, that Bobby Houck experiment, maybe we should take a pass and move on.
Right. I mean, I kind of feel like last time, like how many times do you need to lose the national championship, lose in playoff games to realize that somebody's not, building a winning organization? It's pretty easy to see, I think, except for everybody, but Bobby Houck and maybe Seth Bodner. Apparently they're the only two that just held out hope. It's kind of like, we were just watching the Charlie Brown Christmas, right, with the kids and stuff this week. And that's kind of what I feel like. I mean, Bobby Houck is Lucy that just keeps pulling that ball away every time from us Grizz fans. And sooner or later, we got to learn the lesson and just move on.
Oh, man. And there is nobody that's easier to hate than Bobby Houck, I think, in Montana sports. Honestly.
It's got to be right up there.
Maybe he's a nice guy. I don't know. Maybe if you're in the circle, he's a nice guy. But holy smokes, there's nobody easier to hate in Montana sports than Bobby Houck.
The one thing I will give him is the guys that have played for him, and I know quite a few, over the years, that whether they play for him now or during his first time, they all speak very highly of him. So there is that. So
And look, one of my best friends from back home, Guy Salvavold, his son Bridger Salvavold, just signed to go play football for Bobby Houck and the Grizz. He was an All-State player for Culbertson, played quarterback and linebacker. I think he's going to end up playing linebacker for the Grizz. And, his entire family are Bobcats. Both sides. Mom's side, dad's side, went to college at MSU, and then the kid shows up the week of Cat Grizz, signs with the Grizz, and shows up to the Cat Grizz game wearing Grizz stuff. Like, God. I don't know what the hell happened. Broke my heart. But
there is hope in Culbertson, after all.
Yeah, there is hope. There is hope. So we're going to take a quick break, but give us a shout if you feel like it, 406-294-0970. This is Scott Aspelator, Jake Eaton. We'll be back after the break, Montana Talk Radio. All right. We are back at it. Caden, our trusty producer back there, reminded Jake and I we don't have a come-in after the Fox News. I forgot that. Rookie mistake. Rookie mistake. So, Jake, let's talk a little bit about Billings politics and Billings City Council. We're here in Billings. Before we go full statewide, let's talk a little Billings.
Sure. Well, I mean, as you know, being on the council, probably we're in the middle of a unique situation. I don't recall the last time that something like this happened, but you had kind of this domino effect here that started about 2 months ago, right after the election. Senator Kathy Kelker, a longtime terrible Democrat, announced that she was resigning her seat for this session. So she was a holdover senator. So they then appointed Emma Kerr Carpenter, who was in the House, to fill her Senate seat. And then now Denise Joy, who has the distinction of being the only member of the Democrat Socialists of America to ever be elected to any office. And we did that on our own city council right here in Billings. Good
yes,
job
we did.
For us.
Yes, we did.
But now she's been appointed to here, to fill that House seat. So now that leaves a vacancy on her city council. On her city council seat, so this is kind of an odd little,
yeah,
like I said, cascade waterfall here that we haven't seen in a long time.
No, it's a weird impact, because what was a state issue now became a city issue, because now we have an open seat in Ward 3, which is the south side of Billings, kind of down to Briarwood. We have an open seat, and if you've been paying attention to local politics in Billings, we have a split council, and it is 6-5 most times, with that 6-vote kind of swinging from time to time.
Yeah.
And so we have an opportunity now to appoint a new Ward 3 member that will impact what goes on at the city council. Now, we could swing the council if we get a conservative-minded Republican, or we could keep it the same way that it has been. Left-leaning if we get somebody like-minded with Denise Joy. It's going to put a lot of pressure on our mayor, Bill Cole, to think through who he's appointing and what happens. Because at the end of the day, the mayor selects from the applicants, and right, the applicant pool is in. If you live in Ward 3, submit your application. The mayor picks, and then the council ratifies or rejects. So this could set up to be some political theater with the Billings City Council here.
Yeah, it's definitely an interesting situation for sure.
So we might talk a little bit about more about that after the break. We're going to take a quick break, but this is Montana Talk Radio with Scott Aspenlighter and Jake Eaton. We'll talk to you here shortly.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right. Welcome back to Montana Talks. The great Aaron Flint is out today. So you've got Jake Eaton, Republican strategist, and Scott Aspenlighter, myself, in here for the balance of the show this morning. So let's kind of keep going down that thread of local politics and this open seat here in Billings. You know, I was saying as we went out that the process per our charter is for the mayor to review the applications. Anybody that's interested in Ward 3, you submit an application up through the city of Billings. The mayor reviews and then nominates somebody to be ratified by the city council. Now, with Councilwoman Joy or Representative Joy now removed, now you have a 5-5 split on the council, with the mayor voting a 5-5 split. So this could get interesting for, yeah, the mayor, depending on how he nominates, who he puts up, and where he goes with this. But it is critically important as we head into this next year with all the things going on in our city that we get to a conservative-leaning council again.
Well, and we absolutely should. I mean, we see this at the local level. We see it at the state level in judicial races. Like, it's time to pull off the mask, right? Like, this notion that we're going to elect these nonpartisan races and that's somehow going to, you know, facilitate this kumbaya government where, you know, there's no partisan divide or nothing like that. Like, it's just silly. And we just need to be honest with voters, right?
Right.
And we just need to say, look, these candidates are Democrats, these candidates are Republicans. Somebody wants to run on some other party platform, like Denise Joy. I mean, I don't think that the city of Billings, which overwhelmingly voted for every Republican, mm-hmm, in the 2024 election, has any idea, right, that they elected the only member of the Democrat Socialists of America to ever be elected to any office here in Billings. Like, I don't think people know. No. They did that.
No. No, they don't. And I can tell you, I mean, I'm a deeply conservative guy, and I don't hide that. And I didn't hide it as I ran last year for the city council. I mean, I talked about pipes, potholes, and police, the three P's, like, and infrastructure investment, public safety, and fiscal conservatism as we looked at our budget. Like, I didn't hide it. I couldn't put it on a mailer, but everybody knew who paid any attention that I was a Republican. And the same on the other side. And I can tell you, after serving a year in this quote-unquote nonpartisan city council, that it doesn't mean jack whether we're nonpartisan or whether we're partisan. It doesn't mean a thing because we operate as Republicans and Democrats. And our principles show through in the way that we vote and the way that we push things forward. This concept of nonpartisanship, is, as you've said, is absolutely a farce because it isn't.
No, I mean, it's silly. It's part of what disengages people from politics, you know, over time. We have a real problem in our country, right? 99.9% of people know who the president of the United States is.
Yep.
Right. Now, whether they're registered to vote or not, most people. And that just drops off. That level of awareness and engagement drops off as you go down the ballot. And you look, you know, even at the state level and you say, okay, well, you know, probably it's right about 90 to 95% of people could tell you who the governor of the state of Montana is. You know, probably somewhere between 80 and 90 could tell you who the attorney general is. Once you get down into the other constitutional statewide offices, OPI,
auditor,
and those things. I mean, you're talking maybe in the high 40s.
Yeah, there is no way. And again, I'll tell you, as a guy that ran for Secretary of State in Montana back in 2010, 2011, I was one of the black marks on Jake's successful resume running campaigns. I was unsuccessful in that campaign for Secretary of State, but I'm telling you, nobody even knows what the Secretary of State of the state of Montana does.
Yeah, 100%.
I mean, so now you take that down to city council. Like, how many people are paying attention to what the city council does? I mean, I'll tell you, they paid attention when we screwed up their water bill here in Billings.
Oh, absolutely.
Everybody knows my phone number now in Ward 4 out on the west end of town. But, you know, as far as being engaged in these local elections, I mean, we have completely taken our eye off the ball, and we're paying for it in Billings in particular, just in the way that we're increasing fees, we're increasing rates, we're increasing taxes. Like, it, until we get a conservative-leaning majority on the council, we're going to struggle to keep those things in check.
Yeah, and I think it's one of the problems that like I said, it creates people getting further disengaged from it, right? And so, I mean, Billings is a perfect example. I think it's something over the last couple of years, we've increased our garbage rates twice and cut the level of service. But every time you see a story in the news, right, whether it's the mayor or somebody on the council, they're talking about wanting money to build parks, mm-hmm. right, or some abomination of bond issue for a boondoggle, you know, public recreation facility. And people are like, hey, man, how about just pick up my garbage first? Like, just do that. Like you said, just don't screw up my water bill.
Right.
Like, let's nail those basic functions of government first.
Right.
And then we can start talking about some of these other things maybe.
Right. And I think where this gets interrelated and where it's important is, you know, whether we like it or not, we are going to see a massive jail bond come out in our community. And it's not going to be to the tune of $100 million. It's going to be, you know, north of 175, closer to $200 million to redo the Yellowstone County Detention Facility and increase the capacity of our jail, which is 450 beds and operating regularly at 620 capacity, you know, almost twice the capacity in our jail system. We have got to fix and figure out this jail issue, and that's going to be a bond that comes out. And as this, the city of Billings continuing to increase rates,
increase, maxing out our mill capacity at the city level, pushing bonds. We've got to do our part in reducing the cost of living in our community so that we have a chance at a jail bond to improve the public safety of our community. Because without a jail expansion, we are going to continue to see crime go up in this community without having some place to put these.
Right. And it's been misplaced priorities for, the better part of two decades that have gotten us in this mess. We didn't get here overnight. We're not going to get out of it overnight. But, you're absolutely right. We have to have, those hard conversations, and we have to have people willing to say, hey, why are we paying the Billings city attorney more money than the state attorney general makes? More money than the county attorney makes. Like, what are we doing?
Yeah.
With some of these positions, and that's just the very top end, right? Like, then you get down into everybody, thinks poorly of government for a reason, right? Stereotypes come from somewhere, and you drive by, I drove by the other day in Pioneer Park, and there's a city crew out cutting down a tree, and there's one guy standing there picking up some limbs, and five people standing around watching him, right? Yeah. Like those kind of government projects, those are the things that everybody sees.
Yeah.
And when you're not doing things to address those, and then you come and say, well, we need more money, people are like, you got plenty of money.
Right.
It's not an income problem that we have. And that's true of government, whether it be at the Billings city level, the state of Montana, or the national level. We've got a serious spending problems, not income problems.
Right. And that's something that's hard to address. Like I said, I'm a civil engineer. I'm an infrastructure guy. That's what I do. That's how I make a living. And that's how we support 20 families in Billings. But we're going to have some real conversations about capping, not looking at increases. At a minimum, capping our water, sewer, and garbage rates, and possibly looking at a reduction in those rates. Now, that has an impact. We can't fix as many water pipes. We can't replace water lines and sewer lines. We can't take care of, to the level that we want to, our aging infrastructure in the city. However, we have to make those hard decisions, and that's the conversation that we're having at council with some that disagree. Like, in the real world, you may want a new pickup. But you may say, hey, I can't afford it today. I got to give it another year and get another 15,000 miles out of this sucker before I can afford to do it. That's where we sit in Billings right now.
Right.
We can't afford to continue at the pace that we're at. And we've got to strap it up and tighten up for the people in our community. So great conversation, great discussion. We're going to have more along those lines with the Speaker of the House as he comes in the 8 o'clock hour. But this is Montana Talk Radio. We'll look forward to rejoining you here in a couple minutes.
This is the energy of electrification. Available Type S high performance variant, nearly 500 horsepower and 278 mile EPA range rating. Choose from our complimentary charging packages so you can charge how you want. The all electric Acura ZDX. This is the energy of innovation. Acura, precision crafted performance. Count down to the new year in the all electric Acura ZDX with $0 first month payment and $1 due at signing.
Fox News commentary.
First Lady Jill Biden has a naughty list, and Nancy and Kamala are at the top. I'm Tommy Lahren. More next.
From the Fox News Podcasts Network.
Hey there, it's me, Kennedy. Make sure to check out my podcast, Kennedy Saves the World. It is 5 days a week. Every week, we check in with Jimmy Failla, bring in authors for the book club, and even treat some of your favorite Fox personalities to a very special happy hour. Download and listen at foxnewspodcast.com or wherever you listen to your favorite podcast.
Kennedy Saves the World. America's listening to Fox News.
It's an open secret. First Lady Jill Biden was not happy with how the Democrat Party pushed her husband under the bus. And according to reports from White House insiders to the Daily Mail, Jill is ready for revenge. Sources close to the first family say Jill is especially bitter towards Nancy Pelosi for her role in the Democrat coup. At the annual Kennedy Center Honors held earlier this month in D.C., it was notable how far away the Pelosi sat from the president and first lady. Jill is also furious with VP Kamala, but that's nothing new. But now, insiders suggest Jill is pushing her husband to go go scorched earth on the party in his remaining weeks in office. The Hunter Biden pardon was just the tip of the iceberg. The First Lady reportedly wants Joe to burn the whole thing down despite his better judgment, which is rather interesting given Joe has already spent the last 4 years burning it down. The economy, border security, national security, and everything else he's torched is already up in flames. I'm Tommy Lahren.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. Mainly cloudy today with areas of rain and some snow. Then chance of seeing some rain towards the afternoon, with a high of 45. Tonight, partly cloudy, low near 28. On Friday, sunny to partly cloudy. Chance of seeing some rain and some snow towards the evening, with a high of 47. Friday night, chance of rain, then snow. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm weatherology meteorologist Laura Lockwood.
Hey, Merry Christmas. Happy New Year. I'll tell you what, if you're going to be traveling this holiday season, whether it's on a plane, train, or an automobile, download the Montana Talks app. Not only can you listen live through the Montana Talks app, you'll see some of the web content, some of the news and commentary pieces that we share. But if you're traveling, you're in and out of coverage, you're sleeping in, you can download all 4 hours of Montana Talks, and there's going to be some great content.
Brought to you from the Hot Spring Spas and Hot Tub Company, Friends Recommend Studio.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, welcome back. You've got Jake Eaton and Scott Aspenlighter sitting in for the remainder of the show for Aaron Flint on Montana Talk. So, Jake, we were talking about government spending and kind of tightening the belt here, and I think we did a pretty good bow on, or put a pretty good bow on what we're doing here in Billings. But from a state level, as we get into next hour here early with Speaker of the House Brandon Lear from Savage coming on and joining us, one of the topics inevitably we're going to talk about with Speaker is spending and projection of $1 billion surplus again. We had a $2 billion surplus last year. What are we going to do? What are we going to do about property taxes? And how are we going to try to tighten the belt? You worked very closely with Governor Gianforte. You ran his reelection campaign and have a pretty good working relationship with the governor as it relates to where he's at. I mean, what are your thoughts as we head into this next legislative session, trying to get the governor and the Republican-controlled legislature on the same page?
Well, I think, if you look back to last time, and really the last two sessions, it started in 2021, the governor came in, the legislature came in, and they just said, we're going to hold the line, right? There's basically inflationary increases in state spending, and that's it.
Yep.
we're going to hold the line. And we reduced, some taxes a little bit. They reduced the income tax just a little bit in that first session. They raised the exemption for the business equipment tax, kind of gave folks a little bit of breathing room, and then coming into the 23 session, with kind of the wild fluctuations that we had with property taxes, they said, okay, I mean, that was really kind of an unanticipated system. The Democrats now kind of have this revisionist history of like, oh, we could have just done this. You could have just lowered the rate and it would have been easy. And it's like, okay, well, yeah, you could have done that. And Tom Brady would have got, a $22,000 property tax cut on his fifth home up at the Yellowstone Club in Big Sky. So that was the Democrat solution.
Which would have then been the story, right?
Right.
It's funny how that works.
So, Republicans got together and they took the approach. They said, okay, we need to do two things. One, we need to solve this problem for people right now. And then two, we need to create a long-term solutions so that we don't get in this situation again. And so that's where the property tax rebates come in. And again, the property tax rebates that most people saw, it's about 85-88% of people. The rebate that they got covered all, or in some many cases, more than how much their property taxes actually went up.
Right.
There was some people, mostly in high tax jurisdictions,
you Western. Can guess which counties those are, right? Missoula, Bozeman,
Kalispell.
Well, most people saw, unless your house was like way, way at the top end, most people in Flathead County actually saw a reduction in their property taxes. But at any rate, they started this, task force to kind of evaluate all of the things. They've since come back. There's about 15, I think, different recommendations that have already been introduced as legislation to tackle this. Property taxes is a weird scheme, and it's very complicated, and it's kind of, like moving a water balloon around. If you put pressure on one end, it's going to pop out over here. So it gets a little nuanced to try to balance those needs.
Well, I'm looking forward to talking about that a little bit more in depth with the Speaker of the House, Brandon Lear, as he comes on this next hour. We're going to get a little deeper into what's going to come this next legislative session. So we're going to take a quick break. Montana Talks Radio.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
Of course they pay higher salaries in places like New York and L.A. It costs so much more to live in those places. You hear those kinds of statements so often that you never question them. But when you examine them more closely, the logic doesn't quite work. Of course, the evidence is clear. Average wages in the bigger cities are higher than Montana, for many jobs at least. But there's nothing automatic about simply paying people higher wages because, say, housing costs or taxes are high. After all, the businesses that are paying those wages don't get extra revenue from their customers simply because the cost of living where they are located is high. People make higher wages in bigger cities because the nature of their jobs is different. They are more specialized. Their responsibilities are broader. Their decisions and actions have more impact. They are paid more because their efforts produce more. That's where the money comes from to pay them more, as it must. There's no other way it can happen. I'm Patrick Markey.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.